Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are The Blended Life.
Hey you guys, and today we're talking about surviving summer as a blended family. Enjoy!
Okay, jumping back in. First, I want to say, sorry, we have been gone for a couple weeks here. We are in the early stages of summer. And if you guys know, you know, because all of us are in blended families, right? And blended families are usually pretty crazy in summer with activities, with work. Us as parents, our workflow never really seems to stop, yet it seems to increase with all the kids and all their activities. As we get into the summer, it's like once we settle down into summer, then it just gets crazy again. So what's today's topic about?
We're going to talk about surviving summer.
Which is pretty...
I was inspired.
Which is pretty ironic. I just figured this out. So
yeah, you know, summer is interesting because you experience your blended family differently.
Completely.
During the summer. And that's for a lot of reasons. One, I think we're so distracted during the school year, right? Like we're at work, the kids are at school, and everyone is really a lot busier, I feel.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more scheduled consistency during the school year. And then summer comes and everything shifts. And it's not just school's out, but custody schedules sometimes change. Mm-hmm. You have kids for longer stints of time in the summer. Kids who are, if we have to hear the word bored,
Have you heard bored yet? I haven't heard it. But then again, like...
Traditionally, though, yeah. In our family, all of the kids will be bored. It's just like the word irks me so bad. I'm like, there are toilets to clean. There are dishes to put away. There is stuff in the backyard you could... I mean, if you're bored, I would love to give you something to do.
Well, our kids... Yeah, I haven't noticed that. I'm like...
All of our kids say that they're bored.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
Well, kid's been... away. Let me see. Banana was at summer camp for a week, and then Jared's been up at Clear Lake for a week, and we were at the lake the week before that, or a few days before that. So I'm like, I feel like I haven't seen the kids at all this summer, and I'm kind of okay with that. They're all, you know, not from a malicious, you know, standpoint of view, but it's nice our kids are all out doing things.
Yeah. It is good, and like our oldest in the house right now has a summer job, so they're preoccupied in raising a pig for fair, so yeah. That's like a lot of the days are accounted for that one. Mm-hmm. I just remember I met with a friend a couple days ago, and we were discussing, you know, a lot of people have little kids, and I'm so grateful. I mean, I miss the little stage, and yet I'm so grateful not to be in it anymore. Because I remember some summertime, I was talking with our matron of honor, mm-hmm. in our wedding, mm-hmm. and she was telling me that a school she had signed her little up for summer, because she didn't have perfect attendance, kind of like ousted her from the program.
Oh,
And she's like, it's summer. We take vacations. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. It's weird. And so now she's scrambling, though, to find camps or something for this child to do.
Yeah.
And I just remember that scramble during the summer. It's so hard to be a working parent, or even if you're not a working parent, you know, having children home 24/7 in a culture that doesn't really, you know, we grew up with working parents, or I did.
Right.
I didn't grow up with a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. And so I think we live in a culture that really, you know, both, especially if you live in California, everyone works. The kids are working.
Either that or they don't work and they just live off.
Okay. Well, my point being, though, it's like a scramble. I think that's really hard in the summer, trying to find activities to keep the kids not being bored and
right.
to keep the kids entertained and to keep the kids active.
Yeah, but then also you add in the mix of trying to keep them all this, that, and the other thing. But then you have to co-parent that, too, because a lot of times – summer camp falls on our days and your day and their days. And you know what I mean?
Summer camp always, because our church,
yeah,
it sucks. Summer camp.
Our church sucks?
No, summer camp, it's not our church's fault. I think it's just the week they get.
Yeah.
But this is something that we've had to co-parent, which I feel, I mean, I try to put the shoe on the other foot, and I probably wouldn't be so gracious as my ex is. Because summer camp always leaves on Father's Day.
Yeah, it's always kind of like, yeah, bye, guys.
Yeah, and so the last couple of years, he didn't spend Father's Day with one of his kids. And I'm like, wow, like that's, you know, I mean, we do what we do for our kids. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that he loves her more than he cares about that. And I know you can celebrate a different time, but yeah, like co-parenting that. What happens if the co-parent's like, no, they must spend, that would be me.
That would be you.
I know.
Gosh,
pray for me, see, everyone.
Us guys, like, you know, it's just a Hallmark holiday. We're kind of like, well, all right, well, no kids today.
I know. All the dads are excitedly waving on the bus like, bye.
Yeah, we're really not. I mean, you know, my son's gone up there, you know, numerous times. And it's, you know, it's something that's bigger than us. It's bigger than ourselves. It's more important than us. We can celebrate any other time, any other day, and at the end of the day, if the kids are happy, healthy, having fun, you know, getting spiritually fed, it's so much better than us barbecuing for the afternoon or hanging out, whatever it is that we're doing on mm-hmm. Father's Day. We can do that any other weekend usually, so
yeah.
we'll figure it out.
Totally. Can I share this is kind of a little off the topic, but you know, our daughter went to Hume, mm-hmm. like you were saying,
mm-hmm.
and she got baptized up right. there. And so I kind of want to just, I feel led to talk about this from okay. like a parent standpoint, because I know a lot of parents send their kids to Christian camps mm-hmm. Throughout their lifetime. And usually when kids go to these camps, there's an opportunity to get baptized.
Right.
And so my daughter, she was
going. Do ahead. They check? So there's an opportunity for these kids to get baptized. And my kid has not been baptized going to Christian camp. Do they check in with you as a parent ahead of time and make sure this is okay with you?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, they told us that, like, at the parent meeting prior to the kids going to camp,
mm-hmm.
they tell the parents that they will reach out to check in prior to baptism.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. However,
I'm sure I've sat through this meeting, which I know I have numerous times. I don't remember that part, but okay.
Well, I only paid attention because prior to, I mean, leading up to they call it Hume Lake is where our kids go.
Right.
But leading up to this Christian camp, my daughter was like, had expressed an interest in getting baptized up there.
Right.
It was really important she got up there because she experiences God there, and it's different. And so I knew going into it that this was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember panicking like the day before because she had shared this with me. And so I had told the camp leaders that, hey, get video, get pictures, please, please, please. Like
right.
our church has a photographer who I knew was going up there. And I know they're really good about it, but I was just wanted to be like,
make sure.
Yeah.
slip them an extra 20, huh?
I need all the things.
Yeah.
You're
so needy.
You have no idea.
I have no idea.
And so anyway, but prior to the day before, I was getting panicky because I didn't know if my daughter had shared with her dad that this is a possibility. And so something like co-parenting wise, you know, I could have.
Well, because, yeah, because we're facilitating her going to camp, and whether we have a say in it or not, that's going to fall back on you.
Well, I would, you know, it's like the golden rule, which is biblical.
Right.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And so that I really do. I'm not a perfect co-parent. I'm much better than I used to. I'm only getting better, I feel. However, I've really tried to live by that.
Right.
So I called my co-parent the day before just to check in and be like, "This is, she's talking about it. Are you good with it?" And he said, "It's totally fine."
He knew about it then.
Yeah. He said that she had shared, which I was grateful for.
Right. Okay, that's cool.
But what I want, that's not actually what I wanted to share about. Although I think if you're co-parenting and this is, you know, something like this is coming, like you should openly share with your co-parent that this is a possibility. But what I wanted to say is I was having such an internal struggle because I've showed up for my kids everything.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
I've been there for. If I didn't know about it, then I couldn't be there for it. But I feel like baptism is such a huge moment. It's such a life moment. It's such a big deal. You know, it's like baptism, wedding, childbirth, you know, like these are the big moments in our children's lives. And when I remember just struggling knowing that she might do this and I wouldn't be there to see it and witness that.
Now,
so my inner mom, selfish, fleshy side was dying.
See, yeah, because crying. I mean, you've been at all of these and all the things, but is this for, and I know it's a bit of both, is this just the only child in you coming out and it's a selfish, like, I want to be there because I want to be there, or are you like,
no,
I want to be there because.
I want to witness. I remember when your daughter got baptized.
Uh-huh.
Like, I had forgotten.
Yeah.
I had forgotten, and then I was speaking with her via text, and I'm like, wait, you've been baptized.
Weren't there to see it.
Yeah, I keep thinking that my daughter is the first one of the four kids, but no, that's not the case. Your daughter has been baptized she's like 2 years ago in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I think I blocked it out because that was actually really painful.
Yeah, it was a bummer because it was a local thing that happened, and whether her mom facilitated it or not, it would have just been nice to witness, you know, and get photo, get video, just be a part of it. Even if it was like, no, we're not doing photo video, just to know, but it was such a secret and private thing. But I don't think that is I don't think that's a her thing. I think that's just where she was at that time and how the relationship was, her being stuck in the middle, which is why she probably moved 2,000 miles away, you know, to a completely different state on the opposite side of the country. You know, me and her have always had a good relationship. It's never been great. It's never been terrible. We've always had a good relationship.
You've always been connected, but it's been kind of have to be surface. Like there's not, because you couldn't, I get it. Like I couldn't understand.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know. There's a lot of,
but to your question though, right? Like if you had, it kind of stung a little bit that you didn't get to witness that.
Right, but also I had no clue that it was coming either. I find out after the fact.
Yeah, I remember.
But the reason I was asking you about this, though, is because not even baptism, just everything in general. You really like to be there and be a part of everything going on with the kids.
I do.
And it was I was being kind of silly about it. Like part of it is kind of like just the selfish only child thing.
No, for sure.
But also as parents though, we both really like to show up for our kids. Like there's a lot of not selfish stuff that we go do for our kids and our stepkids, you know, showing up at times and places that aren't the most exciting or the most convenient, you know, but we do it because that's what we do as parents. And as step parents, like, yeah, not my kid, not my problem. But at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, but it's still my family.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, I know that it was such a selfish thing to want to be there, you know, I wanted to witness that moment and cheer her on, gosh, I get emotional talking
so
about
that was,
it.
So that was a selfish thing, though. That was you yeah, being like, I mean, want that for me.
Well, I know she didn't need me because she doesn't need me. And this, and I, you know, this is where I'm like the flesh, right? Yeah. But my flesh was throwing a 2-year-old tantrum about it. And the logical side of me and the spiritual side of me is like, this isn't about you.
Well,
Julie,
the cool thing is also, she didn't make it about you. She didn't make it about anyone else. She made it about the right reasons, and she did it for the right reasons.
I was so proud because there was, so a little bit about the story. She got up there, and I had told our church photographer that she was considering it. And she's like, okay, so I know baptisms happen on a certain day. So the certain day came, and I get a text from said photographer saying she didn't do it.
Right.
And in that moment, I felt, and now I, and this was like the moment I knew how I truly felt about it, because I was so disappointed for her. Like, I was so sad for her, and I was so like, oh, like, what happened, you know? And I'm like, interesting. I wasn't rejoicing that she didn't so that I could see her. I was like, and that's when I really felt like how I truly felt. And then hours pass, and I get another text saying, just kidding, she actually did. Here's a video. And
oh,
I was
really?
Like,
so were they just not aware? How'd that work
no,
out?
No, I have yet to hear. Annabelle came home, and I have yet to hear her story.
What? She's been at the house for like days and hours.
It's a very, well, there's a lot behind that. I told her I want to hear what happened.
Okay.
And I'm just giving her time to like be ready to share.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because the way that you're saying this now makes it seem like it was a traumatic incident that we have to like.
No, I just think, I don't know if she was like, I don't know what happened when it went from no to yes. I don't know if there was anything. I don't know. And so I'm giving her space and time to want to share how she came to that decision and her story of being baptized and what that experience was for her. She came back from camp and was just exhausted, and we left to the lake for a few days right after, and then she went back to her dad's. They're really, and I think what I am learning about all relationships is that you need to give people space.
Right.
And let our kids, especially what I've learned with my two, is in their time, they will open up, and I need to not force it because my personality is like, get in your face and force it out of you.
And here we are.
And I'm like, that's not really great. But the other thing I want to share about this, because I, as a child of divorce myself, when I, it just resonated with me, and I think it's important for our audience to consider as a perspective, as a child's perspective in a decision, when they're making a really big decision for themselves in their life, whether it is marriage, baptism, you know, whatever the big life decision that they're making for themselves, consider this. Remember how I told you I had called my co-parent to let him know that she might get baptized and to check in about
right.
that?
Yeah.
And he had shared with me, yeah, she had been talking about it. And then he let me know that the reason she had told him she wanted to do it at Hume, like away, is because she didn't want it to be a thing where it was awkward for the parents, and the parents had to come either to one church or the other, because we go to different churches, and it'd be uncomfortable and it'd be a thing. She really just wanted to go do it for herself and not have that everyone in. My kids have never been, and this is my ex's and my fault, they've never been comfortable with all of us in the same room.
Yeah, that sucks, because that takes away from a lot, and that makes them compress a lot. I mean, they're holding a lot in, and you've seen that more out of your son than you have your daughter, you know, and it makes it very, very hard. I'm like, your kids are going to elope one day.
I did.
Yeah.
Same. I eloped at 18.
Yeah.
For different reasons, not because of that. But anyway.
No, you know what I mean, though? Like, they're just so.
Well, she went and got baptized on her own, didn't she? So it's a wake-up call, and then that's kind of what I wanted to share also about all this. One, it's like I realized it's not about me, it's about her. And I was so proud of her when she did end up being baptized, and I saw the video. My thought process was like, I'm so proud that she did this for her.
Right.
And not because mom wanted it for her or dad wanted it for her or everyone was there. Look, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't feel pressured. She did it because that's what, and I was so proud of her. Mm-hmm. And then I was so sad that she, from what I heard from her dad, felt like she had to, couldn't do that in front of us comfortably.
Yeah.
That broke my heart. And I know that's a very vulnerable thing to put that out there for you all to hear. I don't walk on water. We've done a lot of things that aren't great. We've done a lot of things that are great, but we have made mistakes. So if you're listening to this, I hope you take away like something from this little baptism discussion. A lot came out of it for me. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but back to surviving summer, is there anything else you want to say about all that?
No, it's interesting because there's a lot of things that go on throughout a relationship, you know, in our blended families, with our kids, with our co-parents, that we think, oh, we're doing an all right job, you know, and it takes something like this. As, you know, she is the youngest. She's 13 years old. You know, we are not that far away from adulthood with the youngest now. Two out of four are basically adults now.
Two of four will have launched soon.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So this time goes very, very quickly. If you guys are listening to this and you're like, oh, this is kind of irrelevant. You know, all of our kids are 2, 5, 3, and 6, you know. We were just there, like just there, right?
Yeah. And the fruit that you want to see in your children, you know, you must plant ASAP.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't experience the fruit much until much, much later, years later. So don't think that you have all the time in the world. You need to start planting seeds of respect, right? If respect is a value you have in your home and you want to be respected, that gets taught as a baby. Doesn't get taught at 17 years old. Right? You can't tell an 18, 17 year old to start respecting me now if that wasn't something you didn't seed in when they were at birth, right? If you want your children to be comfortable around, you know, not that you're going to do Thanksgiving together, but you want your children to be comfortable around you and your ex so that you can be at graduations and baptisms or weddings or whatever, birth of a child. Can we all be in the hospital?
Or baptism of a child.
All right. Baptisms, yeah. Weddings, birth, yeah. You know, then you need to start seeding that into your co-parenting relationship day one of divorce, if you can, and it, you know, or as soon as possible.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes, you know, but yeah. Give yourself a little bit of time. If you're like, we have the worst relationship, I'll never do that. Put yourself on like a 2 or 3 year goal and work towards that every single time you have an opportunity. Every time there's a sporting event, every time there is, you know, a school event, every time there's a parent teacher conference.
Yep.
I think we used to do every so often parent teacher conferences together. You guys have always had your own times scheduled, mm-hmm. you know, your own mm-hmm. this and that. And mm-hmm. that is, it's still working towards the same goal, but it's working towards the same goal from opposite sides. And whether we like it or not, we are all working towards the same goal yeah. of bettering our kids, creating better humans.
Yeah. And, you know, the mindset to have when you go into situations where all co-parents are present is just not about me, it's about them. You know, and that's gotten me through a lot of times around your ex.
Right.
You know, I'm like, this is not about me at all. Yeah. This is about, not about me. I'm not engaging. I'm just here to support. That's it. And I think that's easier to do because I'm far removed from, I'm obviously wasn't married to your ex and I'm not in your co-parenting relationship with your ex. So right. I'm far removed. That's easier to do. And I will say in my situation, I've always wanted to have like more joint stuff, but my ex-husband really never wanted to have any sort of relationship, never would come to a situation where he had to be around me. And he's told me that numerous times in writing over the phone, like he has zero interest in ever being in a room with me
right.
unless he has to be.
Well, the problem is because he makes it about himself and he makes it about you. He doesn't make it about the kids. And that's where the co-parenting falls short.
Yeah.
See, so me and my ex, we have tended to make it about the kids. It's not about us at all, at least coming from my point of view. I could care less if she's there or she's not there, if she shows up or she doesn't show up. It doesn't affect me.
It does matter though, right? Like I totally care if my ex isn't there. at an event. I'm like, why are you, because we've sat there and talked about this.
It bums
like,
me out for our kids.
Correct.
But it doesn't bum me out for me. I don't care if my ex shows up or doesn't show up. It doesn't matter.
But it matters about the kids. Yeah.
I've gotten accused of like, oh, why didn't you tell me that something was this day? And, you know, as my kid's a lot older, my kid has scheduled stuff, you know, and does things. I'm like, because you're the last person I'm thinking about. Like, if our kid wants you there, he'll invite you, you know? If not, like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you knew about this stuff. Like, it's not some, like, how do you know about it at the very last minute if you didn't know about it, you know, a day or two ago? Because it's stuff like that. So at the end of the day, though, it's not about me. It doesn't matter about me. I'm not inviting all kinds of people. I'm like, if he wants to invite you, he will.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. I'm always like, kids shouldn't have to be the middle person. You know, we should be the ones that.
Yeah, but
that,
yes, but no.
Like,
I mean,
information. If,
yeah, but I think that's also kind of bullshit. As the kids get older, as he get to, if he was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like, yeah, of course. But
okay, so that's
at
good.
Five,
that's
six,
good.
Seven, 8, 9, 10, you didn't show up to this type of stuff anyways, unless it was like super local and super convenient. But now that we're older and
it's cooler
and we're traveling further out
more
of town.
Photo
like,
ops.
I don't know. It's just anyways, it's just it doesn't
no,
matter.
No, but that's interesting. This is a good discussion because I think this would help our audience, too. At what age do you feel, or maybe it's a sliding scale per kid, do you feel like kids should, you know, because I think that with my son, it's that way. Like my ex doesn't share anything about my son or his events or when things are. Like, I go to my son to find out. Like, he's showing
your son's at
there,
an your son's right? at an age your son's at an age that it shouldn't have to be co-parented. Your ex shouldn't have to tell you that your 17 or 18 year old 16 17 18 year old is going to do something. He's very well capable. He has a cell phone that we pay for. He has a vehicle and everything, all these things that we provide for him to be able to get to and from and communicate. So, and that's how I feel about with my son. I'm like, my son drives, my son texts you, he is on chat with you of 10 different social media things.
So
like,
you're holding him
responsible. You guys communicate.
Yeah,
for sure. At the end of the day, I didn't sign him up for this stuff. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, these are events that he wants to go to.
Yeah.
And I might throw my credit card for it, you know, to sign up, or I might have to sign a waiver. But I'm not the one figuring out his dates and figuring out his schedule. Mm. It's him. It's his thing. Other thing, too, and a big recent one that we obviously do a lot is motocross. I don't have a day of event schedule. I don't know if he's racing morning. I don't know if he's racing
midday. You never know till the day of.
You never know. And as he's gotten deeper into it, we kind of know how each race sanction runs their program a little differently, you know? But I still don't have a pinpoint time. I don't know if it's 7 a.m. or 9 a.m. It could be 11 a.m. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean,
you're going to be there regardless.
We're out in Nevada, and the kid's lining up on the line for his first sight lap at 6:30 in the morning. The sun's not even up yet, and it's like 24 degrees.
Wasn't
it's freezing.
Ice?
Yeah, it was freezing.
Gosh.
There was ice all over everything. But anyways.
So it's all really about the kids and not about us, and that's the mindset that we need to have when we go into any kind of situation where we're all having to be present and accounted for. And that seems really common sense, and that seems really simple, and it seems really like, duh. Our feelings totally can alter that, right? The baggage we carry into our co-parenting relationship from our divorce, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so it's really like, then it becomes about you and your experience with this ex instead of the kids and their experience with their father or their mother. That matters. I feel like we should get back. We're going to circle back to surviving summer.
Oh, I'm just here in survival mode anyway, so here we are.
So I think summer is so difficult. We talked about like keeping littles active and, you know, them being out of school. But I think summer is interesting for blended families because what I've seen in our blended family and other blended families is that summer tends to expose the holes in our blended family dynamics. More so than during the year when we're all busy and scheduled and everyone's going this way and that way and we're dividing and conquering. And then we get to summer and there's more time. There's more expectation for fun. There's more expectation for vacation. There's more like...
Are you noticing that this year? I'm like, I feel like there's none of that this year. I feel like our Our boys are so damn busy. I don't know what the heck either of them are doing.
No, I'm thinking, we're only a couple, we're not that far into summer.
Yeah.
But I think that traditionally looking back, and summers are really hard for blended families, you know, and I think looking back on, you know, how hard going on vacation traditionally has been for our blended family, and vacations normally happen in the summer. So I think that you just have a different exposure and experience in your blended family during the summer than the school year. And I think that's right. What makes it really hard, not to mention the sliding custody schedules and the pressure to keep kids occupied and out of your hair, right?
Keep them fed.
Keep
the grocery store.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking the other day, something that I'm like, we might never do that we always used to do all the time, is every summer we would rent a couple cabanas and go to the water park.
Can we?
You know? Yeah, but who's going to go? You know what I mean? Jared will be all about it.
We can invite friends. Like, what if we rent a cabana and then we invite our friends and they can bring kids? I know our kid, like, two of the kids will bring friends, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I know.
We should do that. I should look at that, and maybe we go on like a Monday or something where it's cheaper. Anyway, I want to give some tips on how to survive summer. Are you ready?
Yes, please do tell.
I think one of the most important things we can do is just to let everyone have their own experience and not try to force people into experiences that they don't want to have.
Okay, interesting.
You know? And so I think that during summer and blended families, there's this expectation that, and we've talked about this before, like everyone has to do this and everyone has to like it and everyone has to have fun and we're going to bond. And that's kind of like the pressure and the like it's an idealistic, like everyone's going to like this and have fun.
It makes it worse.
So when I think about that, I think it's relevant and necessary to have a couple events in the summer that everyone attends, right? Okay. You do have to like be a stand for unity. Like, we are all going to the lake. You don't like it, you can pout. Great.
You need to come up for 5 hours.
You have to come up and spend some family time, right? Like, I think you have to do that a couple times. But I think the rest of the summer, be easy about it. You know, have bonding times and unifying times as a family, and then allow people to just have their own experiences. Have some bonding times alone with your children. Allow the children to go hang out with friends. Allow the children to if they want to go with you, great. And if they want to go to their other parent and not go with you, great, right? I sent out an email last week's email? If you want to have an easy life, you have to be easy with life. And I think that if you want to have a blended family experience that's easy, you have to be easy with your blended family experience. And so when I think of summer, I think of fun, I think of easy. I think like these are the things I think of when I think about my summer as my childhood, and like summer was just fun and easy and it was so great.
It's so funny how much you've changed, because over the years you've been like so particular and scheduled and this, yeah, and this and this and this and this, where I've always been like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
About all of it with all the kids.
Yeah.
And now you've come to the dark side.
I've come to the dark side of being easy. Well, I mean, if you don't bend, you'll break. You know, and there is some sense of like, you have to be flexible. You have to be able to be fluid. You know, you can't, there's too many variables in a blended family that you have zero control over, and you will drive yourself mad trying to be so rigid and control everything. And so my experience in our blended family, from the standpoint of like my own inner peace, you know, like me being okay, really stems from like just being easy with it, like not that I don't care. I'm just not micromanaging, and I'm trying to have some sort of expectation around these two events in the summer, and then the rest is just going to play out and I'm going to be easy with it. And I think that'll help me less like calm down and just have a better interactions with everyone in our family.
Yeah.
The other thing is, let kids be kids. You know, I think summertime in blended families, we expect our kids to take on all of our, how should I put it, frustrations, all of our struggles. Like if we're upset with how things are going in our blended family and we're stressed out about planning a vacation or we're stressed out about things at home, we want our kids to feel that and we want our kids to take it on and we want our kids to fix it for us, right? Like our kids are to blame for all of our frustrations.
Our kids can't even fix their own lunch. How are they going to fix that?
So our kids fix it.
No, they don't.
Okay. Well,
Top Ramen's a fix, then they are Bob the Builders.
Yeah. But I think that we put a lot of when we experience hard times in the summer, we put it on the kids. We blame the kids. We expect the kids to adjust to, you know, and that's a lot of pressure on kids. And so I think really just letting kids be kids and letting them have fun and, you know, being a stand for fun in the summer as a parent.
Yeah, within reason, you know, let them, you know, if they're like our older kids' age, let them work a little. Don't make them work the whole summer. Let them go have fun. Let them go have fun with their friends. Something I have kind of learned really quickly in this stage of life, you know, with Jared being 16, is he can go out, he can have fun with his friends, he can go drive around to do his thing, but I've had to crack down really big on like curfew, what time I want him home. And it might not be the same time every single night, but I have to be verbal with him about it the when he's leaving the house that day, because it might change, you know, depending on circumstances and situations. But setting boundaries and expectations for your kids as they get older. And again, if we start this when they're younger and there's boundaries and there's expectations, as the kids grow up, it's not so foreign.
Yeah, it's a cakewalk. Like, yeah. they know there's rules. They know they're still going to try push back, but then they fold pretty easy.
Yeah, and that's I get that every night. I literally have the same conversation every night. Well, why? How come this? And I have to explain it every single night, but he ends up being home, you know, at the same time, you know. But it's like, why do I have to explain this to you again, kid, you know?
Takes 1,000 times.
Yeah,
I tell clients this all the time. We're only on like
time 32. So
seriously, like if you explain, literally, I was told this a long time ago, but it takes 1,000 times for your what you instill into your kids to become habit. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, wow. So if I told my kid once a day every day, it would take years.
Literally,
if I were consistently telling them once a day.
Yeah, 4 to 5 years probably.
So 1,000 times.
Yeah.
He'll be 21.
Well, that's and he'll be if home start, at
10. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's it. That's if you start right now. If I start right now.
I think we can't forget in the summers with blended families, we can't forget to take care of ourselves as parents in our relationship. So as much as I know the summers are all about keeping the kids busy and the family vacations and all the things, I think the summers are a really, really fantastic opportunity to consistently pour into your own self-care and your relationship. You need to make sure that you are filling your cup so that you can give to your family and your kids. And you need to make sure that you are pouring into your spouse so that you guys are actually presenting a united front together to the kids. It's hard to present a united front to these kids during the summer when you're both drained, you don't connect, and it becomes very disjointed in your home if you're not connecting. So a monthly, bi-monthly date nights would be a really good idea.
I feel like so far this summer, like, we're off to a good start. I feel like we've done a lot of, like, dinners, couple dinners. Like, we've done stuff together, and so far, I think the summer's going pretty good for us. So hopefully if you guys are listening, you're like, no, I'm lacking there. Like, we're slacking a little bit. We're distant. We're a little bit apart. Maybe just take the reins and plan something.
Hire a babysitter if you need to.
Yeah.
But I think if you're having struggles in your blended family, it begins in your marriage. So always go back and start there. If your blended family feels chaotic and it feels like a wreck, start pouring into your marriage and that'll change. I think summertime is a great opportunity to start getting into community. And I think that is something that you were just saying we have made an effort to start doing. And I think it's going to bless our family and our relationship a lot is to get connected with other couples, other families, even if they're not blended families. If, you know, just being around other people is fun and it's interesting and it's a way you can feel in community, and we grow in community. We get full in community. We thrive. And so I think it's important during the summer to start getting in community with people. Right. Yeah. Planning. I think one thing in the summer is we need things to look forward to. Mm. So again, plan a massage and look forward to that. You know, you got through a really hard week with the kids at home and you're stressed out. Make sure you have a massage next week, or a facial or a pedicure or coffee with a friend, or you're setting aside a couple hours to read a book alone. You might hire a babysitter just to run errands so you can have a break. I think you have to plan ahead. Planning things. I know this. I think what I like planning is I like things to look forward to, mm-hmm. whether it's with our family, with each other. Even if we're not taking a vacation for a couple of years, if we could just book a hotel room and we put the down payment, we have like 2 years out, I'm like light at the end of
that. Dang, 2 years?
But you know what I'm saying? Okay. It's fun to have something to look forward to. I think summertime comes and it comes quickly. Summertime comes quickly every year.
And it goes very, very quickly. Well, it's gotten shortened up too, but yeah, it
does. Yeah. And so we didn't plan ahead for summer, let's say. And now it's like the pressure of scrambling to plan for summer. Like, what are we going to do?
Do you feel the pressure? I'm like, this summer seems to just be cruising right now for me. Maybe it's just me. I might be delirious. I'm like, everything about it has been just,
well, I think our kids are older.
Our kids are older. Our kids are busy doing their things. You know, we've got things going, but nothing, like, not too much pressure. It's like, it's an all right summer so far.
Yeah. But I'm trying to talk to the people that,
that are not in this situation. Gosh.
Well, with young kids or younger kids, kids that require a lot of time, attention, and we are blessed that our kids are getting older. And so I just remember reflecting back on all of our summers so far as a blended family. And man, I wish, you know, planning ahead helps and everyone knows what to expect. And even if things don't go according to plan, having a plan calms us down. So I think there's part of that, the reason why planning is so awesome is it calms us down, and then we can be more fluid with it. Like, if it doesn't go quite according to plan, is that okay? Yeah, then it's time to be easy with it. But have a plan. Have things set up for the kids to look forward to. Have things set up for you to look forward to. Because summertime's interesting. And the reason I think it exposes holes is because when you're all together and under one roof, you start to experience life as a unit. And if you haven't worked on that much as a blended family, it becomes an interesting situation. You know, if you haven't spent time as a family and you're going on your first vacation together, it's hard. It's hard to not let the kids run the show. It's hard to let, like, which kid decides what we're going to do. We had to learn that. Like, no, the kids don't decide.
Yeah, I finally threw my foot down one time. And if you guys have been listening to us for a long time, we were at Disneyland and the kids were, we had already been together, I don't know, what?
A few years.
4 or 5 years. And one kid wanted to do this, one kid wanted to do that, the other kid wanted to do nothing. Every kid had their own thing they wanted to do. And finally, I'm like, nope, we're not doing this. Like, I got like angry. Like, nope, we're not doing this. You and I are deciding as parents. We're going to decide what we want to do, what we're going to do. We'll take all of their ideas and thoughts into consideration, and we will do all of them at the pace that we say we're going to do them. And you guys either take it or leave it. You know, that's what we did.
Yeah, and it went a lot better after that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you put your foot down.
Yeah.
It was a good move. It was a great leadership move in our family.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Regular old Abe Lincoln over here.
I think summertime can be really beautiful if you're easy with it. And so I hope you all are going to have a great summer. I would love to know what you guys are doing this summer as a blended family. I would love to know what your struggles are this summer as you go through summer as a blended family. So you can email me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. That's my coaching email address. That's where I talk with most people. And so I would love to know if you guys are having issues during the summer. What is being exposed in your blended family during the summer? Or what are your wins?
Leave a comment below. Tell us what you guys have planned, what you guys have done. Tell us some wins. Tell us some struggles. Let's have fun with it. Leave a comment. Let us know.
Yeah. So the summertime's here. Enjoy. Happy 4th. This pod's going to release right around then, I think.
On it. Yeah.
So happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day for those who celebrate.
Stay safe. Keep all your fingers.
Yeah. And we just look forward to meeting with you guys next time.
All right. Thank you, guys. We are The Blended Life, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. Becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.